you, Christy. Good morning again and welcome. For those of you that may be joining us for the first time today, welcome to our church. We're so glad that you're here. Or maybe today's the first time in a while. In that case, welcome back and welcome home. You know, I don't know about you, but whenever we get to do an adult baptism, it's really special and powerful. I think it reminds us as a church as to why we exist. We exist to glorify God by bringing people into the kingdom and by helping brothers and sisters grow in their faith to follow Jesus. And Ethan, we just celebrate. I know heaven is celebrating your entrance into the family of God today, so thank you. Sometimes, you know, people with old faith need to be around people with new faith because new faith renews old faith. So if you ever get bored with your Christian life, go hang around some new Christians and you'll remember how good it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, today we're going to conclude our fall sermon series through spiritual formation practices. And these are the nine practices that we've been considering for the past 3 months. Prayer, Sabbath, Scripture, solitude, fasting, community, generosity, service, and witness through hospitality. And today we're going to conclude this sermon series by briefly reviewing the nine spiritual formation practices and then considering what we're going to call a rule of life. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of John chapter 15, and we're going to read verses 1 to 14. People of God, this is the word of our God. God speaks to us in the reading of his word. So please listen carefully. This is our Lord Jesus speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. So for the past 3 months, we've been talking about spiritual formation practices ever since the early church and throughout the history of the church and all around the world. These are the practices that Christians have used to draw near to God. And they're the practices that the Holy Spirit still uses today to bring about spiritual formation in the people of God. And so as I close this sermon series today, I want to reemphasize a few things about spiritual formation practices. They're not about self-improvement. They're not about spiritual achievement, as if you're a better Christian if you do these spiritual formation practices. The spiritual practices are about one thing and one thing only. It's about abiding in Jesus, which is the main theme of what Jesus talked about in our text today, to abide in Jesus. See, they're about intentionally structuring your life in such a way that you remain close to Jesus. You know, it's not enough to believe in Jesus. We must also walk with him and enjoy him, the one that we believe in. It's not enough to intellectually affirm the truths of the gospel. We must also personally experience his transforming love and presence in our hearts. And the spiritual formation practices help us to do that very thing. That's why they're so important. We abide in Jesus by practicing the spiritual practices. So here's a sermon outline for today. First, we're going to review the purpose of spiritual practices. Second, we're going to briefly review the 9 spiritual practices. And third, we're going to consider what we're going to call a rule of life. So the purpose. If we misunderstand the purpose of spiritual practices, then everything falls apart. You see, the point is not to try harder to be a good Christian. The point is not to be a better Christian by doing things that are like extracurricular. That's not the point of this. The point, the goal, is to commune with Jesus, the one who loves us. Jesus did not say, perform for me. He didn't even say, produce fruit for me. What did he say? Abide in me. Abide in my love that I have for you. You see, the point of the practices is to be with Jesus, and then being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and becoming like Jesus, doing what Jesus did, living like Jesus lived, which is loving God and loving people. You know, the spiritual practices are not how we become Christians, but they are the ways that we become like Christ. The practices do not save us, but they do bring us into communion with our Savior. The practices do not earn God's love, but they help us to experience and to enjoy the Father's love that He has already lavished upon us in Christ. The practices do not change us, but the Spirit uses the practices to change us, right? And let's be honest about the spiritual formation practices. They're not easy to do. Watching Netflix, that's easy to do. Scrolling social media, that's easy to do. Practicing the practices, that's not easy to do. It will require effort, intentionality, discipline, and sacrifice to do them. They're not easy. We're not going to do it automatically or naturally. But that is our part. We have to do them. I want you to think about this. No one else can do the spiritual practices for you. Your spouse can't do it for you. Your parents can't do it for you. Your pastor can't do it for you. Only you can do the practices for yourself. No one else can do it for you. It is 100% your responsibility as to whether you're going to practice the spiritual formation practices or not. But listen, as we do our part, putting in the effort, exercising the discipline to do the spiritual practices, as we do our part, the Holy Spirit will do His part. Yes, we have to do the practices, but it's the Spirit who changes us and makes us more like Jesus. Yes, we have to show up every day, every week to do the practices, but it's the Holy Spirit who renews us and conforms us into the image of Christ. Listen, friends, if you neglect and ignore the spiritual practices, then can you really expect the Spirit to change you and to make you more like Jesus? That's as foolish as neglecting and ignoring exercise and a healthy diet while expecting your body to become healthier and stronger. It's just not going to happen, right? We know that. That's common sense. So if you really want to be with Jesus and become like Jesus, then you have to do the spiritual practices. It's how the people of God have walked with Jesus and become like Jesus since the early church and throughout church history to this very day. There is no other way to become like Jesus except to abide with Jesus. And we abide with Jesus through the practices. And as we give ourselves to the practices, we must never forget the great goal of the spiritual formation practices, which is love. Love for God. Love for one another. You know, in verse 8, Jesus said, By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Now the question is, what is the fruit? What's the proof that you really are a disciple of Jesus? Well, Jesus tells us in verse 12, doesn't he? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Love is the fruit. Love is the proof that you are a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Listen, if the spiritual practices make you more disciplined, but not more loving, then you've missed the whole point. If the spiritual practices make you more consistent, but not more compassionate, you've missed the heart of Jesus. If the spiritual practices make you more serious about your faith, but not more gracious, not more merciful, not more Christ-like, then something went terribly wrong. The goal of spiritual formation is to bear the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The goal of spiritual formation is to become like Jesus, to look like Jesus, to love like Jesus, and to live like Jesus. And for you theology nerds out there, the big theological word for all of this is called progressive sanctification, right? Next, let's briefly review the 9 spiritual formation practices that we've been exploring together. And we're going to take about 5 minutes to do this and see this as an opportunity to remember all the things that we've learned together over the past 3 months. First, we explored the practice of prayer. We talked about how prayer is not yelling at God for an hour. It's not just telling God all the things that we want and need. Prayer is the practice of communing and conversing with God, where God speaks to us through scripture and through solitude, and where we get to speak back to God. Prayer involves both listening to God and speaking to God. And the goal of prayer is simply this: to enter into the presence of God so that you might experience his transforming love and presence in your life. Prayer is how we walk with God and talk with God as we go about our days. Second, we explore the practice of Sabbath. Sabbath is the weekly practice of stopping our work, resting, worshiping, and delighting in God. Sabbath is God's weekly reminder to us, where God says to us, you are my son, you are my daughter, not my employee. You see, the goal of Sabbath is to stop from our work and to remember that we belong to God, that our value is not in our productivity, and that we get to enjoy God and all the good gifts that he's given to us. Third, we explore the practice of Scripture. Scripture is the practice of reading the Bible slowly, reflectively, prayerfully, because the Bible is the primary place where God has revealed himself to us, his character, his works, his promises, and most importantly, his will for our lives. So the goal of Scripture is to see the necessity and the beauty of Jesus and to know the heart and the will of God so that we might glorify God and enjoy him forever. And fourth, we explored the practice of solitude. Solitude is the practice of stepping away from the noise, the hurry, our devices, right? So that our souls can rest and be still before God. Solitude is not about isolating ourselves. It's about being alone with God. And the goal of solitude is to have enough quiet and stillness in the presence of God so that God might speak to us, so that we might receive his love and that he might calm our hurried and anxious hearts with his presence. Someone once said this: solitude allows our souls to catch up with our bodies. Fifth, we explored the practice of fasting. Now, fasting is the practice of intentionally abstaining from food or any other good thing that we enjoy so that we can focus on Jesus, on his presence, on his love, on his promises. And the goal of fasting is to loosen the grip that our appetites and our attachments have on our souls, because they have a hold on us. And we get to rediscover that Jesus alone truly satisfies our souls. We fast from food so that we can feast on Jesus. Six, we explore the practice of community for Christians. We've talked about this all the time. Community is not optional, it's essential. And the practice of community is simply gathering regularly with other Christians for fellowship, encouragement, accountability, and prayer. And the goal of community is to be formed into the image of Jesus together, as we follow Jesus together, as we love one another, as Jesus commanded us to do. Seventh, we explore the practice of generosity. Now, generosity is the practice of opening up our hands and sharing our money with others. The goal of generosity is to resist materialism and selfishness, to grow in trust and gratitude to God, and to be a channel of God's love and blessing to others. See, practicing generosity is not about losing money. It's about being liberated from your bondage to your money. And let's be honest, a lot of us are in bondage to our money. And generosity helps to loosen the chains that money has on our hearts. Eighth, we explored the practice of service. Now, service is the practice of using your time and your gifts for the good of others, to bless others, whether it's in your home, in our church, in your workplace, or in our local communities. Service is often humble, unseen, and unappreciated. But the goal of service is simply this: to incarnate the compassion and the love of Jesus so that others might be served and blessed. The goal is for us to grow in our self-giving and sacrificial love to others. As someone once said, service is love with their sleeves rolled up. Ninth and lastly, we explored the practice of hospitality as witness. We talked about this last week. Hospitality is not just entertaining your friends or guests at your house. Hospitality is about creating space through warm meals and warm hugs and warm conversation so that people might feel seen and loved and experience the welcome of Jesus. The goal of hospitality is to reflect the gospel by opening our homes and our hearts so that others might experience the love and the welcome of Jesus. Hospitality is sharing the love of Jesus with your dining table. So those were the nine practices that we learned about in the past 3 months. And today, and that brings us to, I think, the most important, most crucial, and the most practical question, right? This is the question that all of these sermons have been leading up to, and that question is this: how do we actually do this? How do we live this out? How do we make spiritual practices a part of our lives so that we might abide with Jesus, abide in his love? Now, in order to be thoughtful, intentional, and deliberate about doing the spiritual practices, we need what the church throughout history has called a rule of life. Now, so what is a rule of life? Now, the word rule comes from the Latin word regula, which means trellis. Now, some of you might be asking, what does trellis mean? What's a trellis? Well, that's a trellis. It's the wooden structure that supports a vine so that the vine can grow. I want you to look at this picture. The trellis does not cause the vine to grow, but the trellis provides the support that the vine needs so that the vine can grow strong and healthy. You're abiding in Jesus, that's the vine. For you're abiding in Jesus to grow healthy and strong, you need a trellis. You need a support, and that's what the rule of life is. It's the trellis that supports your abiding in Jesus. And that's why Christians throughout church history have embraced what we call a rule of life, or a trellis for their spiritual formation. Now, a rule of life is not a list of spiritual chores. It's not a rigid schedule. It's not some legalistic set of demands that you have to do. It's simply a framework to help us to abide in Jesus. It supports us in our effort to abide in Jesus. So if we're serious about abiding in Jesus, then we all need a rule of life. And it has to be a rule of life that can work for us, right? For those of us who are busy and overscheduled, we live in Northern Virginia in the year 2025 and life is crazy, right? So we need a rule of life that's simple, that's doable, that's realistic, that's sustainable, and that's flexible, right? So at this time, I'm going to invite you to do something I normally don't do. Take out your phones, and please scan that QR code. And it will take you to a PDF. And on that PDF, you're going to find a suggested rule of life that I think that we together as Christians in Northern Virginia in the year 2025 might be able to live together by, kind of order and structure our lives around, right? Trusting that you've gotten to that PDF, you're going to see that this rule of life is divided into rhythms that are daily, weekly, monthly, and quarterly. Now, these practices are shorter. Shorter practices are realistic and doable. Then they're better than ambitious practices that are unrealistic and unsustainable. And so for some of you, you're going to read this and like, oh, that's so easy. That's the whole point. We want it to be doable and sustainable. So here are the daily rhythms for us to consider as part of our rule of life. Scripture. Spend 4 to 5 minutes reading one psalm or one New Testament chapter a day. Let God's word either be the first thing you hear in the morning or the last thing you hear before you go to sleep. And since all of us have phones, we are on our phones all the time, download a Bible app. Use the Bible app to read the Bible. And think about this, your Bible app before your social media app. I know when you first thing you get up in the morning, you either check your email or you check Instagram, whatever it is, check your Bible app first. You can spend 3-4 minutes reading a psalm. Let God's word be the first thing into your mind, or maybe the last thing before you go to sleep. Prayer. Spend 5 to 10 minutes in honest, simple, conversational prayer with God. And if you haven't developed a rhythm of prayer, let me introduce you to a wonderful app called Lectio 365. It's a great app, and it will help you develop a consistent, regular, doable rhythm of prayer. It just asks you to spend 10 or 11 minutes in the morning. Just listen to the app and let it guide you in prayer. Solitude. This might be new for some of us. I encourage you to spend 2 minutes of silence and solitude, both in the morning and in the evening. Solitude allows you to slow down, be with God, and to start your day with God, go through your day with God, and end your day with God. It's allowing your soul to catch up to your busy bodies. Generosity posture. And as you pray in the morning, pray something like this: Lord, all that I have is yours. Would you use me, my time, my gifts, my money, to be a blessing to someone that I'm going to encounter today? That you go into the day expecting to be generous to someone in some way so that they might be blessed. And witness. Pray for one person in your life that you can love, encourage, bless, or welcome. Right? You're thinking about someone that needs to be encouraged or someone that needs to be introduced to the love of Jesus. Now, these daily practices are the bread and butter of spiritual formation practices. Put them into your daily schedules, into your mornings, into your evenings. Again, they will allow you to slow down to begin your day with God and end your day with God. And here's the best part. All of these practices put together will take about 20, 25 minutes. That's doable. I don't care how busy you are. I don't care how important you are. I don't care what all the demands in your life are. We can all find 20 to 25 minutes to abide with Jesus. We can do it. It's doable, right? I know it's doable because you guys spend 4 or 5 hours every day watching Netflix and scrolling social media. I know you do. I do, right? We all do. We can spare 20, 25 minutes to intentionally be with Jesus. And just these daily rhythms, I promise you, will change your life. When you meet with Jesus regularly like this, he will change your life. Here are some weekly rhythms. Very important. Sabbath. 1 full day of stopping from your work. 1 full day of rest, worship, and delight. I want you to think about this. God gives you permission to not work one day. He gives you permission to not be productive for one entire day. And he just says, rest and enjoy me and enjoy all the gifts that I've given to you. Of course, on Sabbath, attend a worship service with our church family, where we get to come together to practice prayer, scripture, community, and service. And on the Sabbath day, let me encourage you, do things that are fun and life-giving for you. Don't feel guilty about taking care of yourself. It's supposed to be a blast. And also, let me say this, don't fast on Sundays. Feast on Sundays. It's a day to eat and rejoice, be with family and friends, and enjoy and get a foretaste of what awaits you in glory. Next, community. Meet with other Christians for fellowship and encouragement and prayer. It might be through a community group. Maybe you're in a journey group. Maybe you're not in any of those things. But get together with two or three other Christians on a weekly basis so that you can enjoy Christian community and fellowship. We need it. Hospitality is witness. Invite someone over to your home, whether weekly or biweekly. Today, let me just say this. Decide today that your home will not just be for you and your family. Once a week or twice a month, decide together we're going to open up our home so that someone can experience the welcome of Jesus at my dining table. God did not give you your home just for you. He gave you a home so that it might be an outpost of heaven where the welcome of Jesus might be seen and experienced in your home. If that's not a muscle that you've practiced, let's begin to do that, to practice hospitality as part of our witness. Service. Do one intentional act of kindness that blesses someone. It doesn't have to be formal, but just think about someone else who might have a need and step in and fill that need. Or maybe serve on a ministry team at church. Fasting. Skip one meal, not an entire day. Can you skip one meal? Maybe it's a lunch. Maybe it's breakfast, but skip one meal or do a digital fast where you get to focus on Jesus and enjoy Jesus, right? And for some of us, I think having a digital fast one evening will be a lot harder than skipping a meal. So maybe that's where you need to begin. Maybe decide on Tuesday nights, we're not going to turn the TV on and we're going to do other things that's going to allow us to experience community and prayer. That could be life-changing. Weekly rhythms. Ground us and help us to live with intentionality. Unless you do these things intentionally, it's so easy for you to just go with the flow every day. And before you know it, another week has passed. And you're like, what did I do this week? These rhythms allow you to live with intentionality and depth. Here are some monthly rhythms for us to consider. And extended solitude. Maybe one day a month. You're going to take 2 or 3 hours to get away to a park or a cafe or your favorite place, some quiet place where you can be alone with God and pray and journal and just be with God. A generosity review once a month. Take some time, whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, just to think through your giving. How is your generosity audit, right? Are you being generous or are you clinging to things and finding security in the things that you own? Hospitality meal, maybe host a slower and a more intentional meal with others. Invite someone over and block off an entire evening to have a meal, to have some wine together, have amazing conversation, right? And deciding that hospitality will become a part of our family's lifestyle. Meet with a mentor or a spiritual friend or a pastor. Right, I know a lot of you meet with friends and you guys do a lot of fun recreational stuff. That's great. But sometimes, maybe once a month, get together with someone for the express purpose of having spiritual conversation. Talk about your life. Talk about your faith. Talk about how you want to grow as a Christian. Such friendships can be just so critical and instrumental for your growth as a Christian. Monthly rhythms give us perspective, and they give us depth. Now, for those of you who are really ambitious, I have some quarterly rhythms for you to consider. One day every 3 months, consider taking an entire half day with Jesus. Maybe it's a Saturday. Maybe it's a day that you take off from work. But pick a day where you can kind of go away to a park for like 6 hours and just be alone with God, reading scripture, praying, journaling, eating good food, right? Where you get to be with God for half a day. Or a service project. Do something that's meaningful for someone in need, or maybe participate in a Mercy Ministry outreach event. And a simplicity reset, where you every 3 months you're decluttering your schedule, your possessions, and your finances, and what you're doing is you're making room and space in your heart and in your home to be with Jesus and to serve others in his name. Now, this document is not the only way to build a trellis, but it is a way, right? And take it and adapt it as you need to. But I think the important thing is getting some of this trellis into your actual calendar and schedule, that it actually shows up in your daily schedule and in your weekly schedule. And again, it's not going to be easy. It will require some effort and discipline, but any good thing in life requires effort and discipline, right? And who knows? As you give yourself to these practices, who knows what the Spirit of God will do in your life? I think the Spirit of God will pleasantly surprise you. And not only surprise you, it will make the people that you live with and people that you work with happier. Because when you're becoming more like Jesus, you're more pleasant to be around. So what? As we close this sermon series, I want to share some hopes that I have for you as one of your pastors. First, I hope that this sermon series is not like all the other sermon series. One that you listened to, you found interesting, but then you forget about. My hope is that this sermon series will actually change how you abide with Jesus going forward for the rest of your life. I hope that this sermon feels less like an ending and more like a beginning. The beginning of a new way of living. A new way of structuring your life around Jesus. A new way of walking with Jesus. As I said, these practices will not change you. But these practices will create space for you to be with Jesus. And he can change you. As these practices draw you closer into his heart, deeper into his love, you will be changed, renewed, and transformed. And for those of you who are parents, my hope is that your children will grow up watching you abiding in Jesus and walking with Jesus. I hope that your children will learn to pray, practice Sabbath, read scripture, serve, live in community, be generous, and show hospitality because they saw you modeling that in your home. Covenant parents, for those of you who have baptized your children, let me ask you this. What do you desire for your covenant children to become? What do you desire for them to do when they become fully mature followers of Jesus? Whatever that is, you become that. Whatever that is, you do that. Model in your life right now in the present what you would pray and hopefully desire to see in your children in the future. Let me say that again. Model in your life right now in the present what you hope to see in your children in the future. May your life be a preview of your children's future. Listen, if you do not do the spiritual practices, then there's a really, really high probability that neither will your kids. Part of passing on the faith to the next generation is passing on the practices that nurture the faith. And the best way we do that is by leading by example, setting the example for our kids and for the next generation. Lastly, I also hope that our church family, as a collective community, will be a place that is beautifully different from the culture that we live in, a place of rest in a culture of busyness, a place of slowness in a culture of hurry, a place of peace in a culture of anxiety, a place of love in a culture of outrage, a place of joy in a culture of entertainment, a place of service in a culture of consumerism, a place of generosity in a culture of materialism, a place of welcome in a culture of isolation, a place where the risen Lord Jesus is worshiped, loved, experienced together, and exalted. That's my prayer. That's my hope for us as a church family, that we would become a church that abides in Jesus, becomes like Jesus, and lives like Jesus, loving God and loving people. A church that beautifully bears the fruit of the Spirit. To the glory of Jesus, for the good of our neighbors, and for the joy, the great joy of our own hearts. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your gracious invitation to us to come to you and to abide in you and to abide in your love. Help us now to accept that invitation and to act on that invitation and to actually go to you and to abide in you and to abide in your love, and help us to access these ancient practices to do that very thing. That we would give ourselves to prayer and scripture and solitude and fasting and Sabbath and community and generosity and service and hospitality, all as means of being with you, so that we might become like you, so that we might do what you did, which is to love God, to love people. Oh, would you bring this to pass in us individually and in us as a church family? I pray this in your name. Amen.
Church family, would you pray?